In Kyrgyzstan today, acting President Kurmanbek Bakiev spoke to government workers and delivered a blunt message. Keep your nose out of politics and your fingers out of the till. His speech was received in complete silence. But the past few weeks in the Central Asian nation have been anything but quiet. Crowds protesting rigged elections stormed the presidential palace and burned cars in the streets. Opposition leaders took over seats in parliament. TV images of all this have gone around the world and across the border that Kyrgyzstan shares with China. But there, the commentary that viewers hear has been somewhat different from what's heard elsewhere. NPR's Rob Gifford has been watching it all from Beijing and sent this reporter's notebook.
You might think that the very last thing that the Chinese government would want its people to see would be pictures of demonstrators storming the presidential palace of a neighboring ally. But almost as fast as the drama in Kyrgyzstan unfolded last week, the pictures were shown on Chinese television, especially on the new 24-hour rolling news program. Chinese language websites were flashing the latest updates almost as fast as the Western news media. So what's going on? Isn't Beijing afraid that angry Chinese people might steal a move from the Kyrgyz playbook and learn how an uprising against a dictatorship can succeed? It seems not, and the reason is the way the events are presented in the Chinese media. The press is no longer full of Mao-speak and communist diktats, but the control is still very much there, though more subtle. In the old days, many people knew they were being fooled, but there was nothing they could do about it. Now, because Chinese news coverage, especially foreign news, has a very credible semblance of reality, people tend to believe it much more. The government propaganda department, which controls the news, has used three main tactics to get its message out and to make sure people are not copying the Kyrgyz example. Firstly, the media play on the deep fear of what the Chinese call luan, chaos. The press seem to have gone out of their way to show scenes in Kyrgyzstan of burning cars and looted stores owned by Chinese businessmen. This is what happens when there are demonstrations, they seem to be saying, and you wouldn't want that, would you? By and large, the urban Chinese public that's watching the evening news and surfing the internet nods its head and gets back to earning money in the thankfully stable Chinese urban environment. Secondly, the Chinese media demonize the United States. China and the U.S. may be getting along much better on a political level since 9/11, but there is still a huge amount of distrust of Washington's intentions around the world, and especially towards China. There are plenty of reports saying simply that the U.S. was behind the coup in Kyrgyzstan. The words uprising or revolution are never used, they're far too positive. And that Washington is eager to install a pro-U.S. government there and take advantage of Kyrgyzstan's natural resources. This has the result of making Chinese people feel they need to stick together more and support their government in the light of what could someday be a U.S. threat to China itself. Thirdly, the media subtly link some of the chaos to elections. One headline read, "Opposition blames government cheating in last month's election." The implication? Elections cause chaos. This trick has been used successfully by China's propaganda department when covering the recent events in Ukraine and other countries, but especially in media coverage of Taiwan, where last year's very close election led to weeks of street protests. That, said many mainland media, was all to do with the elections. Is it really worth it? Democracy seems just too messy, doesn't it? Best just keep your head down and focus on the economy. China has many problems and an increasing number of angry people, but for now, people seem to be buying that argument. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.